It's time to be healed. Get ready for emotional well-being. Help you heal yourself from past wounds and open the window of density for a special and unique life. Healing stories that bring awareness to our heart's love core. It's the matter of the heart. And now, your host, Carol Olivia.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Matter of the Heart, Independent Talk Radio, 1100 AM, KFNX. I'm your host, Carol Olivia, and always welcome. Welcome to your studio. Tonight's guest is Wanda Buckner, people and pet psychic and healer. And tonight we're going to discuss energy healing from a distance. And for you skeptics, we're going to delve into that. Is there a difference between working with a person or an animal at a distance? We're going to look into that. How do we even know that an animal is receiving any messages, you know, from somebody who's giving remote or distance healing? There's so much we're going to explore, so thanks for being there. Welcome to the show, Wanda Buckner.
Oh, hi, Carol. It's a pleasure to be here.
What's energy healing in general when we use those words, Wanda?
The words of energy healing?
Yes. What do you mean by energy healing?
Well, people have more experience with energy healing than they realize. For instance, for yourself, with Western medicine, have you had energy healing?
Yes.
And can you give me an example? What did you have?
All types of energy. I had spirit releasement. I mean, somebody worked in my auras.
I was thinking more of Western mm-hmm. medicine, and mm-hmm. you may have had laser therapy.
A laser therapy, I've had that, yes.
Yeah, and you might have had ultrasound.
Yes.
Those are energy healing, right?
Yes.
Because
uh-huh.
the vibration going through the body, radiation, mm-hmm. that's energy healing.
Interesting.
And well, yes, we just need to look with the same eyes that we do on energy healing with the hands, look with those mm-hmm. same eyes about energy healing with machines.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting to think about it. When you think of a pacemaker, mm-hmm. that sends an electrical signal to the heart mm-hmm. for how it should beat, because the heart is electrical.
Mm-hmm.
The brain is electrical.
Right.
That's why they use electroshock therapy, though I think they have a nicer name for it now.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. Or a TENS unit, which interferes with the pain.
Right. I love those things. Right, right.
Mm-hmm. So whenever I talk to doctors or mm-hmm. Medical people about energy healing, the first thing that we do is establish that they are already using it in their practice. And it's used a lot for diagnostic work, x-rays, MRIs. All of that is based on energy and electricity. Now, some people have, they'll have electrodes put in their thigh muscle to stimulate that muscle to twitch so it doesn't atrophy. That's sending an electrical stimulus through. Or sometimes to heal a bone that won't heal, they'll give it an electrical stimulation. They actually know that 2 hertz boosts nerve regeneration, 7 hertz affects bone growth, 10 hertz affects ligament healing. But in addition to this, they can measure the hertz that come from healers' hands, and healers have that same range of frequencies in their hands. Now, when I work with a veterinarian and she uses the laser, and I am doing hands-on healing, I made the comment once that we don't know how deeply it penetrates into the animal's body. And she said, oh, yes, we do, because I set it for a specific depth and hertz. And I said, I meant my hands, because human hands adjust constantly to what is going on in the body without us even having to think about it. So the laser can only do what it's told to do, but the human hands have an intelligence of their own that flows through them from that healing stream that's in the universe. So, Carol, that energy healing to me encompasses all of those possibilities.
And, you know, it rang a bell, Wanda and listeners. I know a good massage therapist in New York, when he would lift his hand in a vertical way, I could feel his energy for Reiki.
Right. Absolutely.
He didn't have to touch me.
Mm-hmm. And you actually don't even have to be a Reiki practitioner. For instance, Deepak Chopra said that when you're in the operating room and the person's blood pressure is going up, their heart rate is going up, if you just take that person's hand, they will go down. It is that human touch, that entrainment with a calm source that allows the body to entrain with that. So when healthy tissue, like a healer's hand, is brought close to a non-healing wound, there's essential information that's transferred via the energy field, and that healing process is jump-started. It's the unhealthy tissue entrains with the healthy, and that's based on Oshman's research that he has done.
So when the hand, just as an example, what you were saying, because I find this interesting, the hand is emitting healing energy. How do you measure, because you mentioned that before, you know, the vibration, you know, the intensity mm-hmm. of that, you know, in the hand?
Right. They actually have machines that will do that, because how do we, when you think of an EKG and they put those little stickers on your body, and what it's doing is measuring the electrical impulse from your heart, well, they can do the same thing with your hands.
Hmm.
At least that's how I perceive of it. I mm-hmm. hope that that is a true scientific explanation. Perhaps one of your readers knows, or listeners knows how to more accurately describe it. But we can measure frequency now. Another way to think of it is people say sometimes that they can't feel energy. Well, I tell them, well, strike a match. Put your hand over the flame. You're feeling energy when you're quite a ways from the flame. That heat that's being let off from the match is energy. And probably you have felt inflammation from the outside, not just from the inside. But like if you injure your knee and you bring your hand close to your knee, you can feel the heat rising from it. Whereas on the other knee, it will be more cool. So, Carol, we can do a lot more with our hands and feeling energy than most of us realize.
And I guess, Wanda, the body and the mind, the spirit needs to, what not needs it, it's best to be open to it rather than resist it.
Yes. When I first started doing this work, any time I had a small feeling in my hands or in my body that reflected my client, I said, thank you. Because we get more of what we ask for. I didn't dismiss it. I didn't say, oh, no, maybe I felt it, maybe I didn't. I just said, thank you. And that was the same way with psychic work. When I began to get messages and see things, I didn't say, oh, that must not be true. Instead, I said, well, thank you. And then I would check with my client. And so this is a way that all of us can improve what we do. This is not unique to healing. Like if you are trying to solve a difficult crossword puzzle and suddenly the word comes to you, say thank you. You know, allow your mind to be bigger than it is. Allow yourself to receive information from further distances.
Mm-hmm. No resistance
comes from.
Right, right. Yeah, no resistance for anything probably in life.
Exactly.
Right, yeah, yeah. Open up everything, all the channels, so to speak, to receive. Well, we just got a little bit of a sign from Norm. And we're going to be right back with Wanda Buckner. And Wanda, maybe we're going to delve into distance healing.
Yes.
And we're going to be right back, everyone. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Matter of the Heart with Wanda Buckner. We're going to talk now about distance healing. I guess the distance healing is the same as remote healing, Wanda?
Yes.
Okay. So is there an advantage or anything, any insight you'd like to give?
Well, it's interesting. Sometimes we have different ideas about what distance healing might be, but I often work at a distance. Now, it may be that I can actually see the animal in front of me, but let's be reasonable. There's no fish that wants me to take them out of the tank and hold them in my hand, right? Whether there's most lizards do not want to be held. Most snakes are not excited about being held. And if you have a client who is very painful, it may be that touch does not feel good to them. Or perhaps I'm working with someone who has oxygen and other tubes, a feeding tube and other things connected to them, and it's just not possible to reach forward and touch them. And so I work at a distance, and it may be a distance of a few feet or 6 feet or much more. So I think it would be helpful to talk about the concept that, you know, we have our body. Our body is at its very core energetic, at the tiniest part of us. We know now that we are energy, and energy accumulates mass, and then every organ has its own energetic field, and the organs all go together with your muscles and bones and make your personal energetic field, which is also influenced by your emotions, by your thoughts, by your spiritual connection, and that energetic field projects out from you. So just like a person who reads the radiology reports from a breast exam can look and see cells that are atypical, and the more of those atypical cells there are clustered together, the easier it is to see. The same is true about energy healers. We can feel places in the body or in the aura where things are not typical of a healthy field, just like you could feel that inflammation on the knee. It's atypical. And so the body influences the energetic field, and the reverse also happens. You've heard probably that a person who has been angry for years, that they might get cancer, because all that anger in their field eventually affects the body in some way. The same way with grief. People with long-term, deep grief also experience physical problems. In the grief group that I was in, we were a small group, probably less than 10 people, and 4 of them got cancer. And it could not have been a coincidence. So what does this have to do with distance healing? Oh, so energy healers, we talked on the break about acupuncture as being working with the physical body, with the meridians, as does acupressure and massage. But with energy healing, we work with the chakras and the aura. Now, it's all one big energetic system. It's just where we work with it from. And so I am often working in the field of the client, the energetic field that is around them. And so when a cat hides from me underneath the couch, that cat is exquisitely aware of my presence and where I am and what I am doing. That cat is just as aware if there is a little mouse in another part of the house, because their energetic fields are big. And because they're both prey and predator, their field is out there, it's integrated, and it's sensing all of the things within the field. And so as I clear and balance that field by helping the energy become regular and typical It supports the body to self-heal. I hope that explained a little, Carol.
Just a little. I'm only joking. Explained a lot, Wanda. You want to repeat that backwards, Wanda? No.
Let me give you a more scientific
No, it's great
here.
What you're saying. So what I'm picking up is the energy field. Even though I used to see aura. I used to, it's 10,000 things. But because we don't see something, obviously, listeners, doesn't mean it's not there. So an energy healer, as an acupuncturist, a Reiki, or whatever it is picking up into things that we're not aware of.
Yes. So actually, we are aware of much more than we say, though we perhaps don't attribute it to an energy field. Mm-hmm. Like if someone comes into your home and they're very angry, I mean, you know when they come in, right?
Oh, I can feel it. No question.
Exactly. You're feeling the energetic field.
Right.
The same is true of being happy.
Mm-hmm.
We all know that we feel differently when we're in the mall than we feel when we're in the forest. It's because of the energetic field of the mall and the energetic field of the forest.
Wow. So let's see. Well, we're learning through you, Wanda, that this is so important, the energetic field.
Yes.
Now, when you say energetic field, are you also, is it the same as the aura? Aura?
Yes.
Does it have colors such as auras?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Now, are the colors important? Well, it depends on the kind of work you're doing. But every vibration has a color. We often cannot see them. Because there are many more colors than we are aware of. Infrared, we can't see it. So one of the things that we have limiting beliefs just because we don't have the information or the tools to measure things. But we are awash in fields. You and I are within the energetic field of our phones, of the radio station, of the lights and walls around us. I have a dog here with me, I am within that dog's energetic field. So the cell phone towers, they're the field of the earth. It's interesting to have this perception that we are within so many energetic fields that we are unaware of, just like a fish is unaware of being in water.
Oh, that's interesting. So we're continuously, well, when you say that now, I'm thinking, so we're continuously surrounded by energetic fields.
Yes, and influenced by them.
Mm-hmm. So give us an example, Wanda. Give us an example how we could be influenced by you.
Well, and the difference between being in the mall and being in the forest.
Right, yes. And what else?
Knowing whether a person is angry when they first come in.
Right.
And sometimes we have a feeling about someone. And we can't quite put our finger on it. It's not anything they said or did. But we have a feeling about them. Some people we're attracted to. Some people we might feel a little bit repelled. And it's about the energy that they are putting out and about the energy that we put out. You'll see how, sometimes you'll have a group of people in the room and there's a small child, and the small child may choose to go to the person who is the most calm, or they may choose to go to the person who is the most energetic because they want to play, they want to get riled up. So it may be that as we get older, our sense of these things, perhaps we don't believe it as much, but we tell each other, trust your instinct, trust your gut.
So the energy that I'm picking, emanating from the body, is that linked to the heart?
Well, Carol, you ask these complex questions. So all of the energy is about all of the body. we know now that the brain isn't just in the head, that there's also the brain and the heart, and they talk about the brain and the gut. So the heart has been talked about as being this huge control center. Now, when we talk about love, we think of that as coming from the heart and of the heart reaching out, and we will say we feel love in our heart. So I think that there are traditional places that we think of where feelings emanate from, but I think the body and the mind and the spirit is much more complex than we originally thought, and it's not so simple as just assigning one space.
Well, this is fascinating, Wanda. You've been listening to Wanda Buchner, pet and animal psychic healer. 602-277-5369 or 866-536-1100. If you have a question, I'm sure some of you will have a question with a pet of yours or a pet that has passed. Welcome back, everyone. Welcome to the Matter of the Heart. And we have Wanda Buchner here, who is such a talented pet and animal psychic healer. And the number to call in with any question of your pet now or in the afterlife is 602-277-5369 or 866-536-1100 with your question. And I know we have a caller. Norm, you said Loretta from Mesa?
Yes, hi.
Hi, Loretta.
Hi. I have a question. I always have rescue pets, so we know there's really that question of what was their background before we got them. And we currently just rescued a little tripod. We don't really know what had happened. We got him right after they had to take that leg off, but he's so lovable and high energy, but he has such terrible anxiety at this point. So I didn't know if you had any sort of insight what might be some things we can try to do. You know, we're trying to be as consistent as possible, but anything else that you can maybe think of.
Well, sure. And this is a canine?
Yeah, he's a little dachshund minpin mixture.
Oh, bless his heart. So in terms of what you can do personally is, as I look at the environment, are there other animals in the house?
Yeah, we also have an older little chihuahua. So he seems to do better when we keep them together. Sometimes just because of my daughter and mine, our schedules, you know, sometimes we do have to separate them, and I'll have one, or I might have both here, or she'll have both of them.
Mm-hmm. So it does happen sometimes that animals have bonded more closely with other animals than they did with their humans, depending on how they were raised in the beginning. And so the animal's safety is more with another animal than with a human. I had a cat like that because the cat was not going to be sold or bred. No one really wanted this cat, and so the breeder didn't have it put down, but it just was not handled and in the way that would make it love humans. And it stayed with other cats all of its life, and so it had a really hard time adjusting to humans. And this dear dog of yours may have just had a number of experiences, like his most recent one of having his leg amputated, which were not positive. And what is your dog's name?
Toby.
Toby.
Yeah.
All right.
Now, he's actually really good with people and very loving. He's almost like beyond needy. You know, he'll sit on your lap and he almost wants to burrow inside. He has to get that close. And I often take him to my work where he's almost like a little therapy dog. He loves greeting people and, you know, sitting by them. So he's good with people. It's just the being left alone. You know, if, and even if it's just one of us that leaves, if he's still not even totally alone, he really has a hard time and goes into these, you know, really panic almost attacks.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad to know that he will rely on people as well as other animals. It sounds like he doesn't trust himself to be alone and to be okay. So when I sit here, I actually use a surrogate, and that may not be a term that you're familiar with, but it's...
No, I am. Very, mm-hmm.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it stands in place of the actual animal or person. And so I checked Toby's chakras, and they are all compromised, except his beautiful heart, which is open and lovely. And the hara, which is that column of energy that goes from the center of the earth to the heavens, that is not aligned. And the hara, all of the chakras come off of the hara. And so when that is not aligned, the animal doesn't have the full power to recover. And so, like, you'll hear about people who can't get over the hump. They have one illness after another.
Independent Talk, 1100, KFNX.
It's time to be healed. Get ready for emotional well-being. Listen every Wednesday at 9 p.m. as Carol Olivia and friends help you heal yourself from past wounds and open the window of density for a special and unique life. Healing stories that bring awareness to our heart's love core. It's The Matter of the Heart every Wednesday at 9 p.m. with Carol Olivia and guests like Dr. Bernie Siegel. Heal your heart, heal yourself. Listen to The Matter of the Heart every Wednesday at 9 p.m. on Independent Talk 1100 KFNX. Listen, love, learn. It's time to be healed.
Coming up this weekend on the John Tesh Radio Show, are you always bragging about your incredible and amazing significant other on social media? Your relationship might be in trouble. I'm going to tell you what researchers at Brunel University have to say about this, and we'll have the latest way to fall asleep quickly. Just listen to bacon sizzling. I'll explain this weekend on the John Tesh Radio Show. Join me, John Tesh, Saturday nights at 10, following the Talkin' One Rockin' Radio Show on Independent Talk 1100 KFNX.
I'm Francis Battaglia, president of Independent Talk 1100 KFNX, and we're expanding our lineup of local talk shows. We're looking for individuals, business owners, and professionals to host their own radio talk show. This would be a new weekly show that either you pay for or help get sponsors to fund your show. You would pick the topic, select guests, and take calls from the listening audience. There is no experience necessary, and we provide training. Call me at 602-277-1100, extension 1463. 602-277-1100, extension 1463.
And, well, it looks like we had some phone, we lost our callers there for a little bit there, but looks like all of them are back. So let's get back to Carol. Go ahead there, Carol.
Okay. Well, is Loretta still on?
Yes,
yeah.
She is.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah. Well, hi, Loretta.
Hi.
So
sorry,
I don't know.
No, we just lost each other.
Oh,
We lost the entire phone system for a bit there, so.
Okay.
Well, shall I just give a summary of what I was telling?
Sure.
Well, I thought I was telling Loretta.
Yeah, you were saying that the chakras are compromised. I think I got as far as you were talking about the hara chakra.
Yes, the hara is that energetic column that runs from the center of the earth to the heavens, and that is our main powerhouse of energy, and the chakras come off of that. And when that is not aligned, the animal or the person sometimes has trouble getting over what their issues are. And like you've seen people who, like, they'll have one sickness after another, one cold after another. They can't get over the hump. Well, it's possible that their hara is not aligned. So in a session with Toby, what I would do is work with the surrogate here to energetically align that hara and open the chakras and also open the energetic system along the spine and the legs, which are compromised right now. And so it's interesting that acupuncture also talks about increasing the energetic flow, and that would be what I would be doing from a distance. And then I would be making a heart-to-heart and spirit-to-spirit connection with him to talk about his new home and how this is his forever home, that he is safe, that he is loved, that there will always be plenty to eat, he will always be taken care of, and he will always be all right. And I like to start with an animal at the present and move forward and not ask them to go back and relive or recall those difficult times in their life.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that's some help, Loretta.
Yeah, no, absolutely, because I assumed, obviously, he took to us immediately, but, you know, we know when he was found, he had been sort of in rough shape and had been kind of dragging that leg around. So, you know, I almost don't want to have to know what he went through, and he did adapt so quickly except for this neediness and really struggles with being alone. So, I have your information, and I will look into contacting.
Yes, and for yourself and your daughter, mm-hmm. you provide a very calm, even energy so that when he's cuddling next to you, mm-hmm. you want to avoid poor baby kind of stuff.
Right.
Instead, it is you really admire him for what he has been through and what a wonderful being he is and how loving he is and friendly. And praise him for all that he does, instead of, we don't want to have a pity party here so that you feel sorry for him and he feels sorry for him. But I don't think that's how you are. I think you're much more about empowering animals to be their fullness, just like you do with people.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's, you know, because people will often, you know, they'll comment, and it's like, oh, I feel so bad, you know, and it's like, don't. He is fast as could be. He's agile. He does just fine, you know. He can wrestle
right.
with our other dog, and, you know, after about the first half hour they were together, Toby just sort of did this wrestling, pinned him down. It was like, okay, you know, he's not having any of this. My three legs don't hold me back. He's fast as could be. So, yeah, I'm usually more sticking up for him when people kind of are like, oh, it's like, no, you know, trust me, he does just fine.
Right, and that's a very good way to be because it's sometimes people inadvertently with a dog like this will actually force the dog by their thoughts to relive mm-hmm. it all the time. They will retell the story over and over. Well, you know, when we found him, he was this and this, and he had that
right.
this awful operation. And then the dog is seeing all of these images and being re-traumatized.
Mm-hmm.
So sweet Toby, you know, had a home where he was loved and cared for, and he lost his home in a very difficult way. I'm sure that they looked for him and could not find him and were devastated themselves. But for some reason, he was far away from home. He was injured, and thankfully, he was found. He was given treatment, and now he is just. We could imagine for ourselves if we thought we were going to die on the street, you know,
sure.
because we had been in a car wreck and no one knew where we were or how to get to us. So he has a good reason to have
mm-hmm.
this kind of trauma still within his body, and he can also overcome it, and it will not be a part of his new life story.
Oh, that's good to know. Yeah, because that's what I hoped, you know, that we got him in December. And it's funny, that's been my gut feeling, is that he does like to, as much as he's so attached, but he will run. And that's how I feel, because he was neutered, so I knew he was with a family before. And I think he just, you know, took off and wasn't able to be found until you know, Humane Society got them, and thank goodness we're actually doing a fundraiser for that, because I have two rescues from there, and he had a surgery, and, you know, they're just wonderful, the work they do. So now it's more on our end. I've just been wanting to help him emotionally. So thank you so much for that insight.
You're very welcome. Thanks for calling in.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Bye. And so, Carol, are you still on the phone?
Yes, I am. I know you wanted to talk about distance healing from afar, because I know you were in Washington State, if you wanted to go into that, Wanda.
Yes. And so, and the dog that we were just talking about was there in Arizona, and I was able to, using a surrogate, which is a stuffed animal that stands in place of the real animal, and using a pendulum, which is a way of dowsing into the energy field, I was able to connect with that dog and look at their chakras, their hara, and in the same way I would have been able to continue with the healing. So there have been a lot of studies trying to say whether or not distance work actually works. And most of them, well, many of them are about prayer, because after all, that is a form of distance healing. And it has been around a very long time. But most of the studies, there are problems with them, because the standard for scientific studies are very high. However, there is one which was about prayer on animals. And the reason it's always good to use animals is there's no placebo effect. And so they had these little primates. They were bush babies who had they had wounds that were resulting from the injuring themselves. They were picking at themselves. And so they were randomized into two groups, and one group was prayed for, and the other group was not. So prayer was conducted for 4 weeks, and the prayer group, and they also got L-tryptophan, but the prayer group animals had a greater reduction in wound size and greater improvement in their blood parameters than the control animals. And so we do know that distance work works. And I was, I think the furthest animal I've worked on was in France. My book, Choosing Energy Therapy, A Practical Guide to Healing Options for People and Animals, was published in French also. And so this lovely woman in France contacted me because her horse had a non-healing wound. And so between the veterinary care and her loving care and the work that I did, that wound finally healed. And the horse is now active. I see him on Facebook. He's a lovely, lovely being. So distance healing is definitely possible.
Fascinating. You have any other stories that you'd like to share as far as that?
Well, I can't
like this. You mentioned horses during the break. Anything else? Anybody, you know?
Yeah, well, there was a horse that I worked with on the East Coast. He was a racehorse, actually it was a she, and a trotter. And so the human contacted me and told me that this filly had all of the ingredients needed to be a great racehorse. But what was happening is on the track she would break into a gallop. And then, of course, she was disqualified. And so he asked me to work with her, and she had had harsh training in the past that he had been, he wasn't aware of it at the time, but when he knew about it, he pulled her out of it. So her hara, the H-A-R-A that it goes from the center of the earth to the heavens, was not aligned. I repaired that. I worked on opening the chakras and getting her energetically balanced. And then we also had a conversation about why did she break into a gallop. And she said, well, they kept telling her to go faster and faster and faster, and that was the only way she could. And that makes perfect sense. She was trying to be compliant and do her best. And so I was able to explain to her that they meant to stay in a trot and go as fast as she could. And once she really understood and knew that, The next race she was in, she took second.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So it was exciting and very fun.
Right, right. Right. And also very validating, you know?
Yes.
How about giving your contact information? And you also mentioned that you have a book out. You have one or a couple of books out, DeWanda, or?
Well, I did contribute a chapter to a couple other books. One was called Heal Thyself, and the other was The Gifts of Grace and Gratitude. And both of those are perhaps more talking about myself and about the decision to heal. The Choosing Energy Therapy book, the first part of it talks about the science behind energy therapy, and then the middle part are human and animal true stories about healing spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically through energy healing. And the last part is about how to choose a practitioner. And there are, you know, thought questions at the end of each chapter, too, so we can examine our own attitudes about healing. And you can reach me at wandasoffice@gmail.com. Or you can do my website simply by going to wandabuckner.com. I would love to hear from you.
And it's a beautiful website because we, listen, you see Wanda's picture, and it's with an animal, and you can see that she's totally bonded with the beautiful healing energy. You know, you can feel the energy from it, if I may use that expression, Wanda.
Absolutely. And there's a fun thing on the website. There is an 8-minute video of me demonstrating Reiki on a golden retriever and talking as I do it. So it's not a full session. I'm just demonstrating what one would look like. And when I first put that up, two people contacted me and said the minute they played that video, their dog laid down and went to sleep. And so there's an example of energy healing for you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you do remote Reiki?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. All the time.
Mm-hmm. On people as well or animals?
My practice is about half people and half animal. And in addition to the Reiki healing, I do communication and mediumship and psychic readings and past lives. And hypnotherapy. So it's a broad scope, but sometimes you don't know what tool is the right tool until you get to the situation.
Mm-hmm. And can you feel that person's, then I'm presuming, you can feel that person's energy as far as which tool to use?
Yes, and they can feel mine.
Okay,
right.
Got it.
Mm-hmm. So it works both ways. So I call the client at the appointed time. Mm-hmm. If it's a human, they sit in a recliner usually, a place where they won't fall asleep, but they'll be comfortable. And then we hang up while I do the session. And then I call at the end of the session and ask their impressions and experiences. And then I share mine. And with an animal, it's very similar, except the human sort of casually observes the animal. And I do a voice recording of that,
mm-hmm.
so that they have a voice recording of it afterwards.
Mm-hmm. And I know we just got the 2-minute signal, but in a couple of words, what it was the most unusual animal healing session?
Well, now there's an interesting question. Sometimes it's an animal you would not anticipate, like a bearded dragon, perhaps. But I think the most unusual one was this beautiful little dog. The dog was a breed that often has, because of the heavy breeding, skeletal issues, and this dog certainly had them. And he had always been with one family, so he had never been abused. He was very young. He was so loved that he was overweight. And what happened is, with one energy session, that dog changed from a dog that could not be touched by anyone, even his human,
right,
to one that was sloppy kissing everybody.
Oh, I love it.
It was beautiful.
Thank you so much, Wanda Buckner. Beautiful.
It's been a
Thank
pleasure.
You so much. We've been, you've been listening to The Matter of the Heart, everyone. Podcast of the show will be up in a couple of days on the 1100 AM KFNX website. And always joy, peace, and success, everyone.
You've been listening to The Matter of the Heart with Carol Olivia and friends on Independent Talk 1100 KFNX.